Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 24th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by Greater Insight Publishing, LLC, the company that helps empower individuals to overcome the effects of stress with the books Stress, Climbing Out of the Pits with God, and Stress, Overcoming Real Life Issues with God. For information and to order your copies, visit www.greaterinsight.net. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Good Ways to Write Bad News, with my guest, Lynette Smith, copy editor and owner of All My Best Business and Nonfiction Copy Editing. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening live on the phone or you're on the website, there in the chat room, or you're listening from our archives, I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's pretty easy to do that. Now, if you're on the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you'll see several ways to keep up with the show. The follow button is probably the easiest thing to do because you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week. So go ahead and do that from the show page. If you're not there now, go there after the show. Now, I know some of you have longed to write a book. Now, how do I know? Because you've asked me, how did you write your book and what do you do to get published? If this sounds like you, I invite you to get your copy of my home study workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. I will show you in this home study workshop how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, in this workshop, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. You can download your copy of the Home Study Workshop at my website, www.abookin90days.com. As soon as you place your order, you'll be able to download the course and get started working on it right away. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about all those things that contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is Good Ways to Write Bad News, with my guest, Lynette Smith, a professional copy editor who helps writers get the results and respect their writing deserves. Her professional background began with a 9-year secretarial career, and then for the 16 years after that, she owned and operated a successful word processing and editing business. Then she spent 5 years as executive director and managing editor for the Trade Association of Business Support Service Providers she had previously been a member of. In 2004, Lynette established All My Best Business and Nonfiction Copy Editing, and you can find that at her website, allmybest.com. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Lynette Smith. Hi, Lynette.
Hi there. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is a topic that probably isn't covered as much as it should be in many places, so I thought this would be great for us to share with the listeners, because at some time in all of our personal and professional lives, we have to send someone bad news in writing, or at least news we know will be perceived as bad by them. So what are some general concepts that we should keep in mind in these situations?
Well, I think there are 6 key words under the category of positive approach. You want to be ethical, You want to be truthful, be kind and courteous,
mm-hmm.
be polite, and be respectful. This is, after all, a fellow human being you're communicating with, and they have their perspectives on things, too. So you don't want to disempower them in any way.
Mm.
You want to walk a mile in their shoes and figure out, as you're writing, how will your writing be received by them? How will that message be received?
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, address any problems you might anticipate in your written communication.
Mm-hmm.
I like to turn that golden rule around and say, write unto others as you would have others write unto you. I mean, it still applies.
I like that. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Now, this applies whether you are writing an old-fashioned snail mail letter or whether you're writing an email, correct?
Absolutely. I would have to say, though, that when people do snail mail letters, they usually give a little more thought to it. It's
mm-hmm.
much too easy to click the send button on an email before you really should.
Mm-hmm.
Let it rest a while before you click send. Look at it again.
Okay, so write that email, then hit save.
Hit save,
save as
not
a draft.
Go away for a while, then come back and look at it.
That's true. Well, you know what will help, I think, is could you give listeners a specific example of a bad news letter? In other words, we've got to share something with somebody that's not the best news that they might want to hear. And then kind of walk us through some strategies we should use in writing that letter. Would you do that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I just keep in mind the whole concept is, believe it or not, these marketing people always say this and advertising people, it's all about spin.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you're going to spin the truth. It's still going to be true, everything you write, but it's going to be presented in a positive way.
Okay.
So here's our situation. Dear neighbor, we need to resolve that tree root damage in our sidewalk at the property line. That's the short version. So you've got to write a letter about that because people are going to trip on that sidewalk and hurt themselves, and then there's going to be liability issues, and you're in this together. So you don't want people to be injured. You don't want to be sued. Neither one of you do.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of you wants to have to pay a liability insurance deductible if somebody is injured.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of you wants to pay anything more than you have to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And your personal point of view here also is you want to make sure your neighbor's going to pay his half of all the repair costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are the things to keep in mind. So here's a good way to write that. You start out with a nice little sandwich technique. It's always nice when you have a bad news letter to start with good news and end with good news and tuck your message in the middle.
Okay.
So here's the beginning of the sandwich. We've been good neighbors for a long time, and I appreciate knowing that we're always there for each other whenever the need arises. Nice positive start. Then in the next paragraph, you kind of make the point that we're in this together, but you also give a summary of the problem and explain why it's up to the two of you to resolve it. Here it comes. As neighbors, we have a new challenge, one that has been growing for the past several months, a cracked and raised sidewalk due to the outward growing tree roots of the liquid amber tree the city planted 12 years ago in the parkway between our two properties. The sidewalk is now an ongoing trip and fall hazard to pedestrians. Unfortunately, here's the bad news, when I called the city hall about this, I learned that due to budget cuts, the city revised its policy 6 years ago, transferring some of the responsibility for these types of situations and the resulting liability to pedestrians to the individual property owners. Woo-hoo-hoo. So that's the kicker there. So I go ahead and bring back the teamwork approach in the next paragraph. I'm sure this shocks you as much as it did me, but now that we both know about our liability risks, let's devise a plan of action. Arranging for removal of either the troublesome roots or the entire tree, and then having the city repair the sidewalk and even plant a new, better type of tree whose roots grow down rather than out. I think the cost of root or tree removal ranges from $750 to $1,500, a cost I propose we share equally. Here comes the bad news again, but, you know, we're in this together after all. I'll find out from the city if they will cover the cost of A, free removal of the broken raised sections of the sidewalk, B, pouring of a new sidewalk when we're finished with the tree root removal, and even C, if we just remove the whole tree, planting a new type of tree.
Uh-huh.
And then here's the call to action. When would be a good time next week for us to get together to discuss how we can best prevent this trip and fall liability?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here comes the other piece of the sandwich. You're a good neighbor, and I look forward to resolving this with you, sincerely. So you,
oh, I love it.
So you started with good news, you ended with good news, and you kind of tucked it into the middle of what the problem was and kept reminding your neighbor that you're in this together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I love the we're in this together theme that
mm-hmm.
goes throughout, because we are. I mean, once
yep.
you have a neighbor, and it's something that will affect both parties in the event somebody gets injured.
Right.
So I love that, and I love the sandwich approach. You start with the kind of the history of being good neighbors and appreciating having a good neighbor, and you
mm-hmm.
end with that. But that call to action in the middle is very important, because you have to tell them what we need to do.
You
have to make a decision.
Right. You can't just rant about it. You got to come up with a proposal.
Yeah. And also one thing you did in that letter, the letter writer already had done some research.
Yeah.
So the letter writer isn't just ranting about the problem
mm-hmm.
and leaving it to the neighbor to figure it out. They've done the research already. They're the ones making the first move.
Right.
So doing your research first, I think it is quite helpful.
And that's a gesture showing you're willing to make the effort to get it resolved.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I think we have time, if you want to go through an example of a professional letter where maybe a boss is having to let someone go, or a contractor is having to let a subcontractor go. That happens with entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
who hire someone to do some work. Can you give us a quick example of that
sure.
kind of letter?
Sure. Let's talk about subcontractor, you're fired, but you're not going to
okay.
say it that way. All
okay.
right? So here we're going to keep in mind you don't want the subcontractor to complain about you to others because
mm-hmm.
you have a reputation to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
You want to present only enough good reasons to justify your action. You want to be firm, not harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to criticize only the behavior, the product, or the service, not the individual.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Respect the individual. Just
okay.
criticize the behavior. So here we go. On the first paragraph, here's the top of the sandwich. We have been working together for several months now. In that time, you have assisted with the bookkeeping tasks for several of my accounting clients, freeing my own time for other client services and operational tasks. Now, here comes the main point here. Client goodwill is vital to a long-term business relationship, and an important contributor to that goodwill is mutual respect between client and service provider. As we discussed at the beginning of our business relationship, those who represent me and my business are expected to treat my clients in a courteous, respectful manner, being attentive to their business needs. So right there, you've laid the groundwork for what you're going to say next.
Okay.
During the past month, three of my clients have told me that their work was delivered late and that the calls they made and emails they sent to you were not responded to promptly. This lack of responsiveness, notice that's a behavior, not a person here
mm-hmm.
that you're criticizing, this lack of responsiveness is unacceptable. Therefore, please make sure that all the bookkeeping records and computer files in your possession relating to all my clients are received by me within 5 business days so I can make other arrangements for my clients' continued bookkeeping support. You hear that's the plan of action.
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's the specific request.
Okay.
Please also provide me with your final invoice for services rendered to date, and I will remit according to our established payment terms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you're saying you're going to follow through on your own promise in a professional business-like manner.
Okay.
And here comes the other part of the sandwich. Thank you for your understanding, and I wish you all the best for the future. Sincerely.
Okay.
You didn't
that.
Have to say, you're fired. It's quite clear.
And the thing I liked about this one, now in the first one you had a call to action where you were asking the neighbor to set a date to get together. In this one you have a plan of action. In other words, you as the boss or the entrepreneur have already made a decision based on the previous behavior.
Mm-hmm.
and you've made a decision, and you're just asking them to comply,
right,
by providing you and, you know, drawing this relationship to a close.
Right.
And I would now, prior to this letter, would this be a situation perhaps where the contractor has already talked to the subcontractor about these late accounts, or, you know, getting the information to her clients late?
Depending on the style of the contract, and I think that certainly would be a good thing to do, because
okay,
a warning is good. After that first one, you would make contact with the subcontractor and say, hey, this is really not a good thing. This is not what I consider acceptable behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I need more, better service, more responsiveness from my subcontractors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, or if the subcontractor is having trouble with your client, then they needed to have made that clear to you along the way, not let it,
that's true,
you know, pile up to be three different incidents that
right,
are occurring. Yeah.
And I suppose if I were a really nice contractor and I would call that sub the first time and say what I just mentioned, I'd
mm-hmm,
probably come along and say, is there something going on in your business life,
exactly,
or personal life that may be affecting your ability to serve my clients well?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, that this
yeah,
letter would probably come after having at least contacted them and given
yeah,
them an opportunity to explain, because maybe there is a reason why things have fallen apart, assuming they were doing well otherwise.
Right, right.
Wow, these are some great tips. I love the sandwich approach. Before we get along any further, would you share with listeners how they can learn more about your services, give them your contact information and so forth?
Sure, happy to do that. As a copy editor, I use the website allmybest.com, and that's all run together, All My Best. And there are some tools for people who want to write a little bit better. There is information about how I can best serve clients and so on. In addition, I have a second website regarding tips booklets that I've written to help people write treasured letters to loved ones on special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
okay,
now, four of those booklets exist centered around the wedding theme, in which a bride might write to a groom to a bride, either one of them to their parents, and parents to their son or daughter getting married. So those are very nice tools and really add a nice touch to an upcoming wedding when people write these letters. And
mm-hmm,
just briefly, that happened when my son married in 2008. He was
mm-hmm,
the inspiration for these booklets, and it was wonderful. So that's goodwaystowrite.com for those tips booklets.
Okay.
Then if somebody wants to email me directly, you can write to Lynette, Lynette, at allmybest.com.
Oh, okay. And I wanted to go back to the treasured letters books.
Yes.
When people use your books, are these letters guidelines, or can they just copy the letter and add their name to them, or are they guidelines for them to create their own?
They are absolutely guidelines, because these letters are written from their hearts, not from mine. But
okay,
there are wonderful prompting questions throughout, as well as a list of 72 words that are positive descriptors, potentially, of the person you're writing to. And that can help prompt the writer to know what to write about.
Mm-hmm.
These are letters of appreciation, basically.
Okay. Okay, that's great. Now, I know that you very much believe in using the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz as a writing guide. Could you briefly tell us how these agreements apply to writing?
I'd be happy to do that. I'm going to tell you, first of all, too, that I have this available as a one-page sheet that's quite helpful, and it's in greater depth. You can access it on my website by using this URL. Go to tinyurl.com/, that's a forward slash, the number 4,
mm-hmm,
agree biz.
Okay.
All run together. 4 agree biz, B-I-Z.
Okay.
All right. So let me tell you a little bit about the short version of these. The first agreement is be impeccable with your word. Now, I've written this with a slant towards business communications, but this still applies to personal. Tell the truth, but tell it kindly, respectfully, and with empathy for the recipient, and don't exaggerate.
Okay.
So that's being impeccable with your word.
Okay.
The next one is don't take anything personally. That means if you're angry or upset, don't make it personal. Stick to the facts in your writing and keep the negativity out of it. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. Here we've all experienced the pitfalls of basing our actions on wrong assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
But what you'll want to do is get the facts you need before you write, asking enough questions to clarify the situation, even if you have to ask the one you're preparing to write to.
Mm-hmm.
That person's going to appreciate that you're taking time to correctly address the situation.
Mm.
Finally, the fourth agreement is always do your best. In the case of writing, write a final draft and then let it rest overnight if you can. Then reread it and imagine yourself as the recipient. Remember, what is unclear or subject to misinterpretation? Clarify it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any implied antagonism? Eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you included anything irrelevant except perhaps to soften the blow?
Mm-hmm.
Delete it. Number four, redraft and repeat steps 1 through 4 until you believe your draft is your best effort.
Mm-hmm.
If the bad news is of sufficient importance or magnitude, consider having someone else look at the letter confidentially for their impressions and address those concerns as well. You then will have done your best. No one can expect more.
Wow, that's very important. This is great, the way that you took the four agreements, which I don't know if all the listeners are aware, was a bestseller that covered simple principles for living a good ethical life, and now you've applied them to writing very appropriately. Very important to keep in mind, because what we write is in cement. I mean, it always was on paper, but it's even more so when we're sending emails, and whatever we write is there forever more.
Right. You don't want to engage in regret.
No. Don't want to do that, that's for sure. I have really enjoyed this, and I know my listeners have too. I just want to have you repeat back at the beginning. You talked about the six things to keep in mind.
Right.
Would you repeat what those are again?
Right. Be ethical, truthful, kind, courteous, polite, and respectful.
Okay. And if we can do all of those things as we write, even when we have to write bad news, boy, that would be great. And we certainly would enjoy being the recipient of such a letter, wouldn't we?
Yes. Almost enjoy the bad news.
Almost.
But
not,
certainly
not
appreciate
quite
how it was delivered.
I thank you so much. Do you have any closing words before we move to the end of today's episode?
I would like to mention briefly time-tested writing strategies. We talked about the sandwich.
Yes.
But when you're criticizing the actions or inactions of others, don't talk down with a you need or you should or you have to. No finger-pointing. You don't be accusatory. Don't say you didn't send your documentation prior to August 15th, so we couldn't blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to be circumspect. Had we received your documentation prior to August 15th, we could have blah, blah, blah. See, it's a little, it's again spinning the truth, but in a nice way. And still truthful, like I say.
Yes.
And when you're suggesting changes, empower the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Use phrases like, have you considered, or what do you think about, or would you want to give any thought to, or do you think that? You see, all of those things are empowering the recipient and showing respect for their opinions. So those are good things. So again, it's all about spin, but spin the truth.
Thank you. And as you were saying that, I was thinking that this can apply in conversation as well.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about writing because that's a permanent thing, whereas in conversation, it may or may not. Of course, nowadays, it could well be recorded and replayed for you forevermore. Especially if you're running for office.
So we have two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly. think before you open mouth. And I think those four agreements are good to think about. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best. Then speak.
That is great. Yeah, that is great. And for those who missed the author of the original, the book, The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz, you can go over and take a look at that over on Amazon or wherever to pick up your copy, because it applies to life in general. We're applying it to writing here, but it's about living a good and ethical life.
That's right. And I love it.
I think that's been great. Thank you so much for making time to share those tips with us today. I know that we're all better for it. I know I'm going to be using those examples again. Some of those I already did, and I learned a few new things.
All right. Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. Today's show was brought to us by Greater Insight Publishing, the company that helps empower individuals to overcome the effects of stress, with the books Stress, Climbing Out of the Pits with God, and Stress, Overcoming Real Life Issues with God. For information and to order your copies, visit www.greaterinsight.net. I urge all of you to share today what you've learned today. Share it with your friends, your colleagues, your family, and let them know how to get over here and listen to the episode. It will be available on the site at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, or you can return and listen to it anytime. Those of you who want to get the show on a continuous basis, you can actually subscribe to the show through your iTunes account. And that way, whether you're able to be on the show live or not won't matter, because it'll go right into your iTunes account and be there waiting for you whenever you want to access it. Again, Lynette, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Remember that if you're ready to write your book, don't delay any longer. My big goal in life is to help you get that book out so that you don't die with your book inside of you. Grab your copy of the Home Study Workshop, How to Write a Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, from my website, www.abookin90days.com. I invite you to join me again next Monday, October 31st, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative and exciting show. You don't have to wear a costume to listen in next week. I know it's Halloween. But join me in whichever way you like. I'll be coming to you again from Anaheim, California. I am going to ask you to have a blessed week and to remember to color your life happy. Thank you again, Lynette, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.